worship in partnership with our friends and churches in the Old Town Ecumenical Partnership. A welcome is extended whether you're in person or listening to the service via the website later, and equally, you're equally welcome whether you are a regular here or a visitor or somewhere between the two. If you are a visitor, please do let yourself know to one of us after the service. During today's worship, the Bible reading will be read by Edith Watson, and David Leadbeater is leading us in prayers of intercession. I have to announce that the names standing for eldership at our AGM in 2 weeks' time are now confirmed. We have 7 names. The 4 elders who have completed their first 3-year term and are eligible for another 3 years, as well as 3 others for which we must be very grateful. So those who are standing for election are Kerry Bevan, Anne Farrow, Liz Gibney, Liz Gleed, Mike Gordon, Anne Hopkins, and Helen Marston. We could all usefully pray for these 7 people leading up to the annual general meeting when the election will take place. As regards the annual general meeting, I'm aware that 1 or 2 people have been slightly confused or even worried by the mention in weekly news about bringing a packed lunch. One of the people who wrote to me said that he was surprised that he hadn't been asked to bring a sleeping bag as well as his packed lunch. So just to clarify, we always try to finish the church meeting within an hour, and I think we'll get there this year, but there's a fair bit of business, so we just thought we would be careful so that people don't feel they need to rush away during the meeting. Robert has promised to abbreviate the service that morning. It will be a little bit shorter than normal. We will then start the church meeting, and once the meeting has finished, at whatever time it finishes, anyone who would like to stay and share some fellowship together over lunch, if you bring a packed lunch, you'll be very welcome, and I'm sure you will enjoy the benefit of the company of some of your colleagues from Emmanuel. So I hope that clarifies things and makes it clear that you don't need to bring a sleeping bag after all. I will now light the quest candle and the beast candle, and then we will have a short pause to reflect before we commence worship.
Good morning and welcome to our worship today. Our call to worship, words from Psalm 133. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore. Life forevermore. Amen. We sing from both hymn books today, so that none of them can feel rejected, forgotten, or ignored. We begin our congregation singing with Rejoice and Sing, and it's hymn 234, Hallelujah, Give Thanks.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, give thanks to the risen Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, give praise to his name. Jesus is Lord of all the earth. He is the King of the creation. Hallelujah, hallelujah, give praise to the risen Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, give praise to this day. Set up to tremble, Jesus, the judge has risen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, give praise to the risen God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, give praise to his name. We have been crucified with Christ. Now he shall live forever. Hallelujah, hallelujah, give us to the risen. Hallelujah, lead grace to his name. Come, let us praise the living God. Joyfully sing to our Savior. Hallelujah, hallelujah, lead grace to the risen God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, give praise to his
name. In a few moments, we will join together in time of prayer. And I just wanted to point out those who follow the Bible readings of Fresh from the Word will have read that yesterday was the 30th anniversary of the Rwanda genocide. Do you remember, 30 years ago, the Hutus and the Tutsis, in about 1 million people being murdered. Today, it's 6 months, of the October 7th, which began the conflict between Gaza and Israel. And my memory is not very good on that, but it's, I believe, over 2 years since the conflict in Ukraine and Russia have begun. Those are the ones that are hitting the headlines, where the lighting of the peace candle at the beginning of the service is more urgent than ever. But peace goes hand in hand with justice, because there will never be peace if there is no justice. And many people in the world are struggling. There are 32 world conflicts going on at this time. The sad thing is there are too many to be mentioned one by one. So in our prayer, both our prayer of confession and our prayer of intercession, we think of all those lives that have been lost and all those who are suffering. Let us pray. Lord, in the midst of what would seem as darkness, absolute darkness, in the midst of what seems as absolute despair, in the midst of what seems as the futility of life, we have just sung of the resurrection. And we give you thanks for your love that comes through in the resurrection, where the tomb is empty, where darkness was broken through by light, when despair was broken in pieces by hope, and life, your promise for all your people, was made real. We thank you, dear God, for all those who remind us day after day after day not to fall into despair. For the light that shines in those who give of their time, of their talents, of their prayers, so that the world may be a better place. For those that remind us that there isn't anything that cannot be done, even if we think it is too little. Dear God, in the midst of all those that suffer and fear and cry, may we, your children, be the messengers of hope. May we be the voice that calls all those in positions of responsibility to think again and do better. And we come also seeking forgiveness, because we can't be reconciled without recognizing our mistakes. It's not only those things of far away. It's the things that happen in our own life, among our own friends and family, for the words that have caused pain, for indifference, for forgetting that we are together, members of the one body. Forgive us, dear God, our pride. Forgive us for believing that everything that is wrong happens to others, that it has nothing to do with us. Forgive us. And in your forgiveness, may we all be made whole, renewed, transformed. May we hold tight to the promise of life. May we live in hope. May we run the risk of loving and caring, as you have done with us, when you asked us that in praying we call you Father. And in our response, we recognize that we are your children. We could do better. But with you in the midst of our lives, we continue our journey of faith to be the better people you know we can be. So we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. As the community of faith, parts of the body, what we can give is part of our discipleship. It's not the amount, it's the love that goes behind it, by which we can share with the world the message of hope. We now share at this time of the offering. Christ is our cornerstone. This is the anthem that the choir will lead us in now.
testify to it and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is a message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Edith, for leading us in that reading. From Sing Praise now, i.e. the other hymn book, we sing hymn 177, Living God, Your Word Has Called Us, Summon Us to Live by Grace. Living Word, O Word has called us, summoned us to live by grace. Make us one in hope and vision, as we gather in this grace. Thank you. Please be seated. May the word that was read become the living word of life in our lives. Through the grace and the spirit of your presence. Amen. When something happens in life, whatever, we must try to determine not only what that has happened is, how it connects to our daily life, but at the same time, we've got to try and determine the practicalities of it. There's nothing worse than going into something without having thought a little bit about it. It may not work out as we thought, but at least we say we have tried it. Be that a change of job? Is it what we want? Is it only because it's, wow, much more money than when we were getting before? What will it mean to family life? Or a new baby in the family? The first one, the second one, the third, the sixth, the seventh, whatever. Is that beyond the good idea? Are we being fair to the family, to the baby, or not? Moving to a new place. What does that mean? What does it entail? Has the age of our moving got anything to say? It may be a good idea, but in the practicalities, is it? We may have prepared for any of those things, the myriad of opportunities and possibilities that you can think of, for ages, but when it happens, we do have to consider the new reality. And the journey of faith is not very different. The journey of faith is exactly that, a journey based on faith, where we can't always be sure of how it's going to work out, but are we going to embark on that journey? Last Sunday, we celebrated the day of the resurrection, and we were centered on three challenges round the empty tomb. The empty tomb was a sign of life, the empty tomb was a sign of hope, and the empty tomb was a sign of love. The task ahead after that is an extremely challenging one. How are we today going to live in the light of the resurrection? Beyond Mary and Martha, beyond Peter and James, how are we going to do it? What difference did it make, is it making, or will it make in our lives? And as we look around, it sometimes seems that it would make very little difference, if any difference at all. So much goes on in the world as if there had been no resurrection at all, and yet it is the key point, the cornerstone of our faith and our living. But let's go back to the reading for this morning. I would guess that none of the three letters of John are read very often. I see nobody wanting to dispute that fact. Somebody would say, oh, I read them once a week. Probably be a wild guess to say they must be towards the end of the New Testament. Or somebody says, no, they're very at the beginning. No, the letters aren't the gospel. They're different. That's why in the weekly news I said, not John, but I put the first letter of John, because you would have been rather confused if what had been read and what I'm going to reflect about were two different readings. But there are three, and they're ordered in length. The last one is very, very short. The writer of this letter uses concepts similar to what you will find, yes, in the Gospel. They're supposed to be written by the same person, but that is such a debatable point. I'm not even going to waste more time than that about it. I don't know. He will talk of in the beginning. He will talk about the Word. He will talk about the Word that is life. He will talk about lightness and darkness. And all these ring a bell, but do they change life? Because I really don't mind if they ring a bell or not. My big question is, do they change life? Our life, and as a consequence, the life of those around us. In verse 3, he says, and I'm sure you recognize some of the phrases here, what we have seen and what we have heard, we declare to you. The author is giving a first-hand testimony of what is to come. There is a call for a transformed and transforming relationship. Because one thing in faith gives me the impression sometimes that, oh, yes, I changed. Good. Am I still changing? Because sometimes change, as to 50 years ago, is not fully easy to understand today. If change isn't, if transformation isn't a continuous, what goes on? The reading of today talks about oneness, involving God and involving us in that relationship, in the loving relationship. It is profound, but it is very intimate. God wants to be part of our life, wants us to be in a relationship with other people. One in which we must be honest to ourselves and to each other. And I've not been able to forget, I don't want to forget, Maundy Thursday, when we had the Agape here at Emmanuel. And I always love that, because it's always a very joyous occasion. We sit round a table with people, and this year there were a few people who would never come. And to us that have been here for many years and doing it, it's wonderful to see people amazed of how simple it is. We know what it's like. We know that we will get some fantastic soup. It'll be roll. It'll be a communion service, a simple communion service. But it's much more than that. The table is set in you, so you sit face to face. The sharing of the bread and the cup at communion, when people pass it on to each other, we are involved with the person who gives us. We're involved with the person we give to. I think it's one of the most simplest, but one of the deepest moments of what we do in the partnership. I can't exclude the fact that around that table there was a Judas, a Peter, a Thomas, and everybody else. And we can't forget that around that table, there are also those who help prepare the meal that we don't often think of. I can't forget the incredible challenge of Good Friday. And I'm not going to say very much about it, because if anything, it was the most unforgettable Good Friday 3 hours we've had in the partnership for years. It caused quite a to-do. Lots of people weren't happy with it. Lots of people were challenged by it. The fact that in 55 years of the partnership, it was the first time a black woman led our three-hour service was a symbol in itself. Most people didn't disagree with what was said. They were expecting something different for Good Friday. But the challenge there was, in the title, we're all part of one body. And could have been a full stop. But Karen Campbell, who gave the theme, added a question to it. What bit are you? So that meant the body is not something foreign to us. It is something we are part of. And she talked about the little toe. And it reminded me, not very elegant what I'm going to say now, but if any of you have ever had an ingrown toenail, you don't realize until you've had one How many times you kick something without realizing and it becomes the center of your universe? A toe. A headache, migraine, yes. Joint pain. We all know that sooner or later we're all going to get them. And you're going to the surgery and your GP will say to you these famous words, "What do you expect at your age?" It's offensive when you're young like I am to hear those words. You laugh. I'm still younger than some here, but still. So what is all that about? It's still ringing in my ears and my head what Jesus was doing. And probably the most central phrase that I heard that Friday is the one that said, "You have heard it said that Jesus died for our sins." And she said, and a colleague of mine says, "Have we also considered that Jesus died because of our sins?" And I'd never heard it put that way. For is my benefit because I'm involved in what happened. All this amid the broken reality of the world, as I said when we lit the candle. The Gaza conflict, Rwanda genocide 30 years, the Middle East involved again, and it's extending, and it's raising questions. All this reality of the world broken by the sin of selfishness, of discrimination, of exclusion, of hunger, of death, destruction of creation. And the reading says, we are called to be reconcilers. How? Is this possible? Well, if the only thing we think of is, oh, I'm going to be a reconciler and I have to end up in the United Nations, it's probably easier to start closer. There's a wonderful picture that I got yesterday with a daily reflection, and it's Jesus, the crucified Jesus, knocking at the door of the United Nations building in New York. Absolutely intense. Sharers of the light that comes from God. What are the practicalities of the resurrection? And it says, can we confess our brokenness, our realities? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If we say we have no sin, that incredible last sentence practically that says, we make God a liar. Sin is what breaks up the relationship of that oneness. So when we sin, because we do. How do we turn to the faithful one and to the just one? Because God is willing to forgive. To those embarked on Fresh from the Word readings, what starts today is a talk about reconciliation. And how can we be reconcilers? God is willing to cleanse us from all injustice. So, what are the practicalities in our living faith after the resurrection? The first is to recognize we are broken, our brokenness. And with that, at the same time and in the same breath, recognize the gift of the second chance, or the third, or the fourth, or the ad infinitum chance that God gives us. What we receive, we can share. We receive light. Let us share light. We can be assured of our forgiveness. Are we willing to forgive? Not the cheap forgiveness, but the one that involves us in a deep coming together. It is not until we accept the fact that it is only through the grace of God shown in the sharing of the cup and the bread, in the love of the outstretched arms, and finally in the empty tomb, that we are made whole. In this sense, though all are undeserving, we are all made new in that love. God's grace is not limited. God's grace cannot be put in our pocket and say, I've got it. Look, I've got it. Here it is. It's mine. Because that's when it escapes like dry sand from our hands. The grace of God is not to capture, but to receive and communicate, and makes us difference. We don't own it. We share it. Each of us will have to think of practicalities that are inherent to our own life, to how brokenness has affected our own life, how our needs are particular, but we all have them, and we're all part of the loving community by which the reading today reminds us of that belonging. We are given the joy of that belonging. And remember, we are still learning. We haven't got all the answers. And as we advance, we probably have more questions than answers. But share them. Bring them together. Because that's how we continue the journey. If Christ had not been raised, our faith would be useless. But he did. So our faith is full of energy, of hope, of love, and of newness. May God lead us on that journey. Amen. And let us sing. It's from Sing Praise, hymn 78, If Christ Had Not Been Raised.
Had not been raised from death, our sin would be in vain. Our preaching but a waste of breath, our sin and guilt remain. But now the Lord is risen again, he rules in earth and death would be near.
and share your love with our neighbours, whether they live next door or the other side of the world. God of healing, we bring before you all those people whose stories involve pain. Please, heal those who are sick, whether in body or in mind. Please strengthen those for whom treatment is coming to an end. And comfort those who grieve at the loss of a loved one. And in a moment of silence, we pray for all those peoples whose names you have placed on our hearts today. Please help them to hear your story of everlasting love and hope, demonstrated for us and for all eternity through Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection at Easter. God of witness, thank you for all those people who helped to tell your story. Thank you for our Minister Robert, for Jeff, for the choir, all those who give office in the church, and all those who volunteer to work within the church. We especially think at this moment of those who have offered their names forward for nomination of eldership. May your love, comfort, and strength be with them. Thank you for the faith and witness of your United Reformed Church and for our ecumenical partners in this parish and all across the nation. Please bless those who serve you and your congregation. Thank you for your faith and witness for those who are sat in the pews and in these seats and these homes before us, the relatives and friends, companions and guides, who through their lives have shared your story with us. Please help us to follow their example and share our story and your story with our relatives, friends, neighbours, and yes, indeed, enemies. Please lead us to that wonderful moment when all your people will sing the same story about your overwhelming love and grace in this time and throughout all time, world without end. Amen.
Thank you so much, David. You will probably remember, we used to have the prayer for wholeness and health. That was stopped with COVID, as so many other things that were stopped. And we wanted to resume them. And that's why the corner here is prepared. What we will have in a few moments, we'll be singing a hymn, sitting, not standing. And those people who would like to come to the circle with a prayer for themselves, for somebody they care for, please. Maria will be helping me. At this time, we will have a word of prayer for you in the quietness of that moment. And as it says, it's health and wholeness. Sometimes health takes a long time to arrive. And that's why we also include wholeness, the wholeness of that time where it may be difficult. So we will sing hymn 469 from Rejoice and Sing. We sing it twice, sitting down, but as those of you who would like to seek prayer, please feel free to come. Make sure that there's an empty space, if it's full, so that we can reserve that sort of privacy and intimacy for that moment. for the prayers we've just shared, for your own private prayer, for the love of God in your lives. O Lord, hear our prayer. Amen. Just before we sing our last hymn, just in case you forgot what you read in the weekly news, tea and coffee afterwards. So come around, be in the hall, chat with somebody, have a good cup of tea, have a cup of coffee if you prefer to tea. I saw that biscuits were being prepared, so sweeten the day a little bit in the midst of everything. And the final thing I promised I would send greetings, Terry Pigeon says hi to you all. He insists that he wants to come to church one Sunday, and he insists that he is going to drive to come here. So hold your breath, and may God guide him, but look after. He's feeling well, but he's feeling old. And I wonder why. And this we now join in our last hymn. It's hymn from Rejoice and Sing 257. The head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. We omit verse 4.
The head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with thorns and the joy of diadem adore the is his, and his by right, outing and Lord of all, and make the joy of all who dwell above, the joy of all in manifest his love and grants his name to know. They suffer with their Lord below, they reign with him above, they profit and their joy to know the mystery of his
share, we grow. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. And the blessing of that God, of love, of hope, and of life, be with you, those you love, and with the people of God everywhere. Go in that peace.